Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 22. In this chapter, we see that God's coming judgment of Jerusalem and Judah was well-deserved and necessary because every class of society was involved in committing sin, and every category of sin was being committed. Let's begin by reading the first 16 verses. Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Now, son of man, will you judge the bloody city? Yes, show her all her abominations. Then say, Thus says the Lord God, The city sheds blood in her own midst, that her time may come, and she makes idols within herself to defile herself. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made. You have caused your days to draw near, and have come to the end of your years. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all countries. Those near and those far from you will mock you as infamous and full of tumult. Look, the princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you. In you they have made light of father and mother. In your midst they have oppressed the stranger. In you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. In you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. In you are those who eat on the mountains. In your midst they commit lewdness. In you men uncover their father's nakedness. In you they violate women who are set apart during their impurity. One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiles his daughter-in-law. And another in you violates his sister, his father's daughter. In you they take bribes to shed blood. You take usury and increase. You have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and have forgotten me, says the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I beat my fists at the dishonest profit which you have made and at the bloodshed which has been in your midst. Can your heart endure, or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the countries, and remove your filthiness completely from you. You shall defile yourself in the sight of the nations. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 22, with some background notes. In Ezekiel chapter 21, we had four messages of the sword. That is, four messages that could all be entitled The Sign of the Sword. We said that Ezekiel probably presented these messages dramatically, even using a polished sword as a prop in his preaching. Now here in Ezekiel chapter 22, we have three more messages of judgment pronounced against Jerusalem and Judah. Note the beginning of each message in verses 1, 17, and 23, with the words, And the word of the Lord came to me, saying. Here in chapter 22, the Lord zeroes in on the sins that are still going on in Jerusalem, even at the present time, when some of the people have already gone into captivity. But the people would not heed the warnings, and would not turn back to the Lord, and would not listen to the word of the Lord. What more could God do but bring further judgment on the nation? Israel would be scattered among the nations, verse 15. The fulfillment of this prophecy is quite evident as we look at the history of Israel. In Ezekiel's second message of judgment in this chapter, we see in verses 17 and following that the Lord would treat Judah as a refiner treats metal in a crucible. Let's read these verses, verses 17 through 22. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are all bronze, tin, iron, and lead in the midst of a furnace. They have become dross from silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin into the midst of a furnace, to blow fire on it, to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury. And I will leave you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. As silver is melted in the midst of a furnace, so shall you be melted in its midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. Judah would be refined as precious metals are refined. In this case, the crucible would be Jerusalem. The heat would be turned up as the fire of the Babylonian armies, as it were, would surround Jerusalem and besiege the city of God's temple, which had been profaned by the sins of the people. Just as a refiner heats the crucible until the impurities and dross is burned off and removed, so God would deal in judgment with Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. The sinful people would be removed from the land and taken into captivity to Babylon. That is, if they were still living and not killed in the invasion. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 22. Doctrinal point number one. Jerusalem was judged because all categories of sin were committed. Jerusalem was judged because all categories of sin were committed. In these first two sermons of judgment by Ezekiel that we've just read, we see a catalog of Israel's sins. Shedding innocent blood is mentioned several times throughout the chapter. Idolatry, verses 3 and 4. Oppression of the needy, verse 7. Sacrilege, verse 8. Immorality, including incest, verses 9 through 11. Extortion, verse 12. Judah was guilty of all categories of sin, and therefore she would be judged. Now, the bloodshed that is mentioned several times in these sermons probably included child sacrifice, as well as acts of violence, including murder. We know from the record of Kings and Chronicles that the kingdoms of Israel and Judah both sank to the level of the idolatrous sacrifice of children to the pagan gods. For these sins, the nation of Judah was experiencing God's judgment. Now, what about our own nation? Are we not guilty of these same sins? Now, some might say that we haven't yet sunk to the level of child sacrifice. We haven't? Do you think the label of pro-choice hides from God the horrible sin of taking the innocent lives of the unborn? God would be untrue to his own moral character if he did not judge our own nation as he judged Jerusalem. Jerusalem was judged because all categories of sin were committed. Doctrinal point number two. Jerusalem was judged because all classes of society sinned. Jerusalem was judged because all classes of society sinned. Verses 23 through 31. This is the third sermon. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, You are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey, to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plaster them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions, and divining lies for them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. In this third sermon of judgment, we see that all classes of society in Judah were guilty of the sins of spiritual apostasy and social injustice. The prophets, verses 25 and 28. The priests, verse 26. The princes, verse 27. And the rest of the people, verse 29. Therefore God had to judge the nation, verse 31. Notice from verse 24 that the land itself was not being rained on. Remember, this is one of the curses of the law, if the people turned away from the Lord. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28 in this connection. In verse 26, we see a sin described which greatly characterizes our own nation. No distinction between the holy and unholy, and no difference between the clean and the unclean. Many illustrations could be given here. But think for one example of how jokes about God can blur the lines between the holy and the unholy, and jokes about sex can lower the boundaries between the morally pure and impure. We all need to be careful here. We see in verse 28 that the false prophets were not telling the people the truth about the coming judgment, but were whitewashing the facts and telling lies about coming peace that the people wanted to hear, and all in the name of the Lord. Does this sound familiar? Think of the lies that go out of many churches today in our own nation, and all in the name of the Lord. God must judge these sins as he judged Jerusalem. Jerusalem was judged because all classes of society sinned. Now, what about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 22? Be a gap person. Be a gap person. Our practical application comes from verse 30, where God said that he searched for someone among the people to make a wall and stand in the gap. Some time ago, I wrote an essay entitled Gap Persons, based on this verse in Ezekiel chapter 22. I'm reading some excerpts from that essay. Quote, "Gaps in the walls of any Christian fellowship are critical and potential danger points. The Bible teaches that the enemy of our souls is always around looking for gaps. Satan would love to get a foot into any gap of a Christian fellowship and proceed to tear down the whole wall. Gaps never repair themselves automatically, and unrepaired gaps have a tendency to widen. God closes gaps with people, regardless of whether the gaps in Christian fellowship are associated with programs or positions. They are repaired and filled by godly individuals. These people are more than just Sunday morning only Christian stopgaps. These are men and women who are willing to rise up and get involved and take on responsibility in spite of discouragement and opposition and ridicule and hard work." Verse 30 indicates that God is searching for such gap persons. Maybe you are the gap person that God wants to use to fill that special need in your fellowship. God is still searching for gap persons. Whether it be a gap in the testimony of your fellowship group or a breach in what remains of the moral defenses of our country, the call goes out for individual believers who will build up the wall and stand in the gap. Gap persons can greatly affect the outcome of a situation. Let us muster up the moral courage to stand up and be a gap person. End of quote. Now, you can read the whole essay on our website, growingchristians.org. So you can make a difference if you're willing to be a gap person. Be a gap person.